Hey, hello ladies, and welcome to class two and week two in our 90-day series of Walking the Way of the Goddess. Deep breath. We've been exploring and really feeling our way into choosing one of our heart's desires for a focus on for 3 months together. And through this intention, we are drawing to us an experience that will have us expressing ourselves in new ways and perhaps in different areas of our lives than we have before. So I want to talk a little bit about the results of empowered feminine manifestation, a little bit of review from last time of the essentials. And just to remind you that this is definitely a path of growth and transformation. When we're working with both feminine and masculine forces in a conscious way, when we are tuning into our heart's desire and the vision that this brings forth, and then we get into connecting with the quality of the energy behind the form, you know, just like you connect with the spirit of the baby before it's born, this form has an energy before it becomes physical. And so we are literally going to be dreaming into, like conscious dreaming into, the energy behind the forms. And remember that we talked about how the true heart's desire is really the soul's calling card. That is something that is planted like a seed in your heart, and it starts to vibrate or make itself known at different times in our life. Different seeds of our desires start to make themselves known in the form of an urging or an inner nudge, or sometimes we get, you know, literally a dream at night that leads us to explore, you know, something that we hadn't previously thought of. And some of these are lifelong dreams. We may have known about this, what you're picking for the 90 days for a while, and for some of us, it's a total surprise. What has emerged recently or what is kind of still coming up to the surface. So wherever you've been, perfectly fine. And all stages and phases are completely welcome. And you may also find that during the 90 days, it may shape shift a little bit. The shape of your vision or your intention may start to shift or change a little bit. And that's wonderful. It's just part of that process of getting in tune with what's coming. You know, some moms get the name of the baby, you know, right after conception, and some like to wait till they're holding the baby to name the baby. So we don't always have to know exactly what. That's the power of feminine manifestation, is that we are literally resting in the mystery. And we are not fearful of the darkness. We consider that mystery our friend, and we acknowledge how powerful it is. And I just want to say a word about that, about language and the empowered feminine. I read this book a while back, and I'd have to look up the author, but I do remember the title, and I remember the main theme of the book. It was called The Alphabet and the Goddess. And this was an amazing book written by a man who was a linguist, and trying to think if he had a co-author that was also a neurologist. But anyway, there was a lot of brain science in the book too. And it had to do with, as we learn language and we get labels for things, our brain is literally mapped. Our perceptions are shaped. The way we see what we're able to see and how we perceive is shaped by the concepts in our culture, the language of our culture. You know, when you look up at the sky and you see the canopy of stars, if you didn't know the constellations, you could draw, you know, any lines between any of the dots you like. You could be seeing what we call Sagittarius, the archer, and you could see it, you know, as a giraffe. You could see it as a waterfall. You can see it as anything you'd like to see it as. And so this is what happens with children. Our brains are being mapped by our culture. That's why it's so wonderful to be bilingual. I wish I was bilingual. It's a wonderful skill to have because you literally are able to have more nuanced perception of your world. You know, what is it said? Something like Eskimos have something like 15 different words for snow because it's such a part of their world, all the different types of snow. There's so much nuance to that part of their environment that there's not just one word for it. So our ability to perceive is so much sometimes quite limited by our language. So that's why I love this process working with feminine manifestation, because we're going to be tapping into the energy behind the form, underneath the label, to the qualities that we sense and feel and intuit in aspects of nature that we call on to help us, and also in the visions that we're having that we want to give birth to, give form to, and also within ourselves. We're going to be seeing, feeling, hearing, and perceiving ourselves differently along this journey. And that's a lot of the point, because a lot of you have told me that along with the vision that you want to focus on, it was a lot about the feminine radiance piece and the awakening sensuality piece was what really made you want to sign up for this course. And last time I talked about how this is actually the awakened sensuality in the creative process is actually a byproduct of being full of aberration from your heart for this intention, this inspired vision, and also the creative juice that comes from that. It takes us on a ride. You know, these things are not, these visions are not being approached the way that we're taught in our culture, which is more, leans more toward the isolated masculine. It's not an empowered masculine. It's seeing, you know, someone wants to create something, say you want to start a business or you want to build anything or design anything. You know, we're, the map of our language tells us that we're these separate individuals and that we have to use the force of our will and our mental focus. It's sort of like, I've heard the phrase rolling the ball uphill. You know, that there's this tremendous efforting sort of against a force, and that's what creates, that's the hallmark of the individual will that's separate from other people and separate from nature. So yeah, that's a lot of efforting and a lot of exertion, and there's not the sacred space and the coherence of a fertile field of a collective that is part of bringing in something new. And that's an individual ego saying, this is me, it's all about me, this is done by me. And the individual ego has sort of two modes. It can think that life is happening to me. You know, I'm separate from life, things are happening to me. That tends to be a bit of a victim mode. Or things are happening by me. And that's, you know, I'm using my will, my energy. And neither one of those are bad. They are just, that's early stages in development of creative manifestation. When I start anything new, there's some efforting because there's just getting clear on what it is sometimes is the effort is mostly in releasing the programming, finding out what needs to be released, what needs to be focused on. There's kind of a sorting process that goes on. And nothing against effort itself. It's actually very important for the human being to exert force through our bodies. Astronauts that go up in space for periods of time come back and their bones have demineralized. You know, they look like they have osteoporosis. They have to be in a gravitational field where their bodies are enjoying what they're designed to do, which is operate with gravity and force, And this is really important to get in touch with that aspect. And we want to put our energy into what's enjoyable, most enjoyable to us. You know, we all have to do things as part of our day that we would probably prefer we didn't do. But what about making priority and giving your time and attention, which is the currency of your life force, to what is most desired, to what you're truly called to do? Because we're so busy filling up our space with the busy to-dos that we don't hold a sacred space for something that is a higher calling. So that's my intention for this circle, is to hold the space for that higher calling. And all right, so take another breath. And all right, one thing I wanted to talk about today, as well as looking at the limiting cultural belief and role models that we've had for putting others first as a habitual way of operating in the world. Of course, it's very important, and we do it joyfully or not so joyfully a lot of the times, and a lot of times we need to do this. That's great. But what happens is we have a default setting of caregiving and tending to others before ourselves. And most of us had moms that, helped us pattern on the role of woman as kind of a martyr archetype. And that means they're always putting themselves last as a habit. And we get depleted that way. And it's much more joyful to give from a full cup. And whenever possible, putting yourself first is actually a very sacred act and actually serves others much better, because you're coming from this full cup, overflowing, great fullness. And then there's an ease about you, and you notice your loved ones will receive what you're giving a whole lot better. I know when I'm efforting to try to get something across to my husband, and I'm, you know, in that mode of trying to explain myself, and there's sort of a tension in my voice, I'm trying to get my point across, I see his eyes glaze over. It's like, oh no, here she goes, you know. And I realize, oh, you know, that efforting is very, I'm imagining I'm separate. I'm imagining he doesn't understand me, which at that point he doesn't, and I'm reinforcing it. And it's important to take that moment to pause whenever you find yourself stressing, straining, or struggling to make something happen. Know that you have stepped out of your center, and the feminine and masculine forces within you are no longer dancing. You know, I'm not dancing with my husband when I'm doing that. You know, I'm probably stepping on his feet. So just bringing more awareness to the state of ease and flow in our bodies and in our lives. You know, bringing more awareness to where we feel this flow. You know, your handout from last week on the members page, hopefully you saw it underneath the video, but it's there are some prompts there for journaling about, you know, when in your life have you felt really plugged into the flow? You know, when there's a burst of energy and you're kind of like surfing a wave and everything's flowing. And athletes call that, you know, playing in the zone. You know, when you swing your racket and it hits the ball, the tennis ball, right in that sweet spot. And that's where so-called efforting feels really good, because literally the athlete is dancing with the forces on the field, with the ball, with the other players. There's a sense of oneness that's a high that they love and that they seek. You know, my brother's a soccer player, and he talked about that. He said that, like, stadiums are like his church because he's had his spiritual highs on the soccer field in the zone. And he also meditates, but that's something that he has described to me as a feeling. And a client of mine who is a really good skier. I don't know if he's Black Diamond skier, but he's an excellent skier. And for him, shushing down the slope and feeling his body moving rhythmically, you know, in that sort of shushing motion, whatever you call that, downhill skiing, that's one of the greatest highs he's ever experienced. And so there are some prompts there. If you haven't seen that handout, it's below the first video on the members page. Just to wake up your body memory. We all have memories of where we have experiences in the flow. I have one from when I was 8 years old on the beach at night on 4th of July, running with a sparkler held out in front of me. And I got so mesmerized by that sparkling light. And I felt like I was running so fast, I literally felt like I was flying. I felt like my feet were off the ground. And I was in this zone that I'll never forget my whole life. And then later on, some spiritual experiences really matched that early experience as a child. And I tap into that cellular memory sometimes for inspiration. So that's a little bit about that. And also the video. Let's see, I had an email question from one of you about the conscious breathing and riding the wave. And I forgot who was that asked me, but asked me, do I ever do that laying on my side in the morning? Because they found it easier to do lying on their side, you know, moving, breathing into the belly and moving the pelvis first and having that wave up through the body. And the answer is, yes, I have done it on my side, and sometimes I roll over to my side during the process. You can also put a pillow under your knees if you like doing this first thing in the morning. That's one way to just, you know, free up the lower back and get the pelvis rocking a little bit easier if you're laying on your back. So I just wanted to bring that in. And, I also wanted to tell you about a story that I heard from Eckhart Tolle in one of his early talks years ago. This is regarding conscious breath. Okay, so someone came to Eckhart, this is years ago because he's telling the story, with the catalog of the courses from the Esalen Institute for the year. And this is what they said, I'm paraphrasing. These all sound so amazing. How do I know which ones I should choose? Which ones do you recommend for me? And Eckhart said, they all look wonderful, and I'm sure they deliver much benefit. If you practice conscious breathing several times a day for 1 year, you would get far more out of it than if you took every course in this catalog. So hearing that, I took this to heart, and I just want to say never dismiss the power of the most simple practices that are fully embraced. And riding the wave of your breath, the way I showed it on the video, does emphasize the feminine aspect. It emphasizes the movement, but you can also do it very, very subtly, you know, in stillness, really, with just the breath being a very subtle, slow wave. I do it both ways, where there's a lot of movement, when my body wants to stretch and release, and when I'm sitting in stillness, but the wave of the breath is moving through my body. It's the same wave, just a different amplitude, right? Okay, so I thought that we would start by just doing that right now. Why don't you get into a comfortable position? Some of you are probably seated. Some of you are laying down, wherever you are. Remember, as you fill your breath deep into the belly, you're arching the back and pushing the belly out. And then as your breath rises, you're rocking the pelvis back, so your back is flattening against the chair or the bed. So starting with the pelvis, you're breathing in. There's a sway back as you're filling the belly. And then as the breath moves up higher, you start to rock the pelvis back. It kind of pushes your breath up to your solar plexus. All right, so breathing in, swaying the back. And rocking forward. Right now my eyes are open, but I do it a lot either way, eyes closed or open, because I do this several times a day. And I love how it moves and rocks me. And I'm guided by the movement. I'm not, you know, after the first couple of breaths, I am not moving my pelvis. My breath and pelvis are moving me. So at the point where you feel that shift, where your breath and your pelvis are moving you, don't worry about how your back is on your inhale or your exhale. Because this is a release and an unwinding exercise. You're getting conscious of the flow of breath and energy through your whole body, up to the heart level, rolling the shoulders back and down, stretching, maybe rocking the neck. Right? The movement is initiated in the pelvis. Moves all the way up, filling to the upper chest and heart, down the arms and out the hands. You're releasing your neck and head. It's like at the end of the wave. Yes, and so even just three of these waves, three times a day, that's kind of an easy commitment to make if you like this practice. You know, I don't like making commitments that are too much, too many, too soon. I don't want to load my plate. I have a lot on my plate. So just imagine while you're doing this, yeah, I could do three breaths three times a day. Right? That's easy to receive and easy to take in. All right, coming back. Okay, I want to talk a little bit now that we're all mellow and in the flow, I want to talk about the vision that appears from our heart's desire. We all have some idea of a quality that we want to experience more of, or an area of life that we want to express ourselves more in. But we're going to go a little more deeply in this class on those two things. So connecting with the energy of your vision. This is where you begin with the heart's desire and you start tuning into, wow, if this was completely fulfilled beyond what I could imagine, what would that look like? How would I feel? And even if that's kind of very dreamlike and sort of foggy, it's fine. Just connect with whatever comes up to you. So we're going to bring that into another meditation in a little bit. And then I also want to talk about once we connect with the energy of this and start to feel into it and bring it into our bodies, it's like getting pregnant with your vision. And it starts to grow and it starts to kind of nudge you into inspired action, which we just take little steps at a time. That's all that's important, is to be moving in the direction of the vision. There's no way to measure how close you are, because these visions can manifest sometimes very suddenly. You know, you could bump into your soulmate in the parking lot next week or next month. There's no way to measure or quantify how close in physical time space these are to emerging. That's kind of like the baby picks its own timing for the birth. You know, you're guessing if it's 3 weeks early or 2 weeks late. That's like a 5-week window or more. Yes. So just enjoy the mystery of it. And oh, I also want to mention before I go into the guided meditation for this evening that it's really important to honor three phases of creating, three phases of creation energy. And the first one is the action phase. And in our case, it's inspired action from the vision, from the heart. We're kind of riding a wave up, inspired, taking action. And then once that wave crests, there's a natural dissolve. You know, it's like the washing of a wave on a beach where you're kind of reflecting on the action, integrating the action, and just letting it kind of wash over you. And then there's a third phase, which is very little spoken of, you know, by motivational speakers anyway, and not modeled very much to us, and that's the stillness phase. Because it's invisible. That is the pregnant pause that comes before every inspired action. So I want to say to you that sometimes the waves are kind of stacked up. Surfers call them stacking when the waves are coming in sets. You know, there's not a lot of pause between those waves, and that's a phenomenon in nature. And sometimes there's a lull before the next suitable wave to ride. It could be either. But we are going to be noticing and feeling waves, not just the wave of our breath, which is where we're starting, which is a great start, but also these waves of inspired action. And noticing that, yes, there's an outer activity phase. That's the part we focus on the most. And then there's also an integration and reflection, receiving phase. And then there's a stillness, a still point phase. And honoring those three aspects will bring you so vitality and sustainable creative energy while you move through these 90 days. So those are three very important phases of the creation process. Okay, I'd like to lead a guided meditation and then... Oh, we have a loud noise in the background. Let's see if I can mute. No, it seems to... It says it's on mute, so I don't know where that's coming from. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put you on a different mode. Let's see. Okay, I just tried a different mode to see if it would mute any other noises on the line. But, okay, you can still hear me. So I'm going to go into the guided meditation for the evening, and then after that, I don't know if you have your journals handy, but after that, just jot a few things down in your journals, and then near the end of class, I'll ask for a few shares. And I know you've all pretty much said to me you feel very zoned after these meditations. It's kind of hard to share. But so I'll be talking a little bit while you get your faculties together if you'd like to share an insight or a question or a result from the meditation. Okay. All right, deep breath. So tonight I'd like to introduce you to the Dreamweaver. The Dreamweaver is like a basket made of light. So imagine that each one of us has a ray of light coming through our bodies from the top of the head down through the center of the body and out through the root chakra, out through the feet. And we're going to be taking this line, and we're going to be weaving a basket if we are all in an energetic circle. And we're going to, the basket is an open weave, very much like a dream catcher. Okay, so I just thought I'd give you that visual first. All right, so take a breath and relax, close your eyes, and just drop into whatever's supporting you. So let the bed or the chair have your weight. On your next exhale, just sink into it. Let the air flow out like it's coming out of a balloon. Let your body start to feel kind of heavy into that support. And feel your body relaxing and releasing with each inhale and exhale. So the body's relaxed into the support. Your energy is alive and light and alert and active. The body is rested. Your awareness is alert. If you need a little help staying alert, you can tap your forehead between your eyebrows, top of the head, over the heart and the belly button at any time if you need to tap yourself up to an alert state to stay awake. All right, so now connect with the energy of a guiding star above your head in the heavens. And let a beam of that light pour through the top of your crown. On the inhale, breathe it in. A stream of light, vibrant starlight, bathes the brain and bathes the back of your eyes and just washes the screen of your mind in bright light. You can almost taste it as you breathe in, and it passes through, relaxing your jaw and your neck and your throat. And it washes down to the center of your body, connecting the heart, solar plexus, stomach, belly, lower back, and into your pelvis. Really receive this light all the way to the root chakra, between your sit bones and your pubic bone. And then have this light also flowing down and out across your shoulders, down your arms, out your hands, and across your hips, down your legs and out your feet. So you're resting in a beam of light. It's coming from that guiding star. That guiding star has your vision in it. It knows your heart's desire. Even if you don't yet, it does. So rest in the knowing that the star is holding for you. Isn't that great? You don't have to use your mind, thinking mind at all. You're held in a beam of this knowing light. Now this light is passing through you like a river in a riverbed. And it's moving to this, weaving across the center of this circle. We're all in a circle together energetically. And each one of us is going to allow this stream of light to weave across the circle and form like a loose basket weave. In a wave, the light's traveling kind of like a dolphin waving in the ocean, over and under each other's. We're linking and weaving with each other's light. There's plenty of space for breathing room. Just enjoy the feeling of that as you breathe, of that kind of wave-like motion, like the dolphin in the ocean. You can see that dolphin like carrying the light, if you want, across the circle, the basket we're weaving. And then it moves even beyond the circle and goes out to the universe. But we are this collective light basket, like a dream catcher. And each light knows our manifestation. And wherever we are with it, we can just feel into it, just rest into the knowing without necessarily knowing with your mind. And feel the strength of our collective circle when baskets are woven, slender reeds which don't have a lot of support on their own, suddenly become a basket that can hold fruit, vegetables, grain. This light basket is the place where we can reach into our hearts, and then we're going to toss the seed of our dream into the center. It's a fertile space. It's a collective sacred space. And it is always and still within you and part of you. You're not tossing it away. You're bringing it out to the light, and you're offering it to the sacred space. If it feels good to you, you want to stay within your own light stream, do that. If you want to release it to the whole basket, do that. Every image and every suggestion is just a suggestion. Always go with what your body likes, where you want to be, and what feels good to you. That's what's honored here. These are just suggestions. So taking a breath, put one hand over the heart, one hand on the belly if you can. And get a sense and a feel of your offering to the basket. It'll be some energy that will help you get even more in touch with what this is all about for you. So just feel it coming up under your hand and on the in-breath, reach inside with your inner hand and bring out this little seed. Now, seeds want to be planted in a very fertile field. So this is your field. And you can imagine offering it into the sacred space to gestate. And that's connected to your sacred space. So bring that in to your own belly now. So from your heart out into the space, receiving the light, and then back into your body, into your womb, into your belly. There's something about offering it to the light so it can be seen, offering it to the field of energy so it can be known, and then bringing it back into your own womb. So feel yourself now receiving it back in, and take a breath. And release. So just notice how your body's feeling. Any impressions that you have? Anything that came to you about your vision of what you want to create? Maybe have your journal handy and slowly open your eyes. What is so important to you about this vision? The way to know that is, what's the result that you feel you're going to receive if this vision was manifest in a way that's even beyond what you can imagine now, fully manifest? How would that change your life? What quality would that bring into your life? How does it change your priorities? what is up-leveled in your life. Right, this vision may touch many areas of life. We're all going to be more spiritually connected from interacting with our vision. We'll all undergo some personal growth. The vitality of following vision brings health and wellness. It enhances our relationships, both intimate and friends and family. Visions manifest are always a contribution to community. Whether or not people see them, your presence is a contribution. It also blesses your personal space, your environment, and your home. In any action you take out in the world, whether you're career-oriented or you're in retirement, your vision blesses all your actions because they're inspired actions. It also makes us feel rich. I mean, it brings a prosperity to us, a fullness, a great fullness. We're connected to resources when we're bringing through our visions. True creativity is playful and light. Creating with vision is creative play. And we get to move and be and travel wherever we're drawn to manifest this vision. So I just covered some of the areas of life that are in an archetypal symbol called the Wheel of Life. And you'll be seeing that. I'll tell you a bit about that at the end of class because you're going to be seeing that on the next video. And there's a handout with it too. All right. So I'm going to ask for some shares. Anything you want to, if you'd like to ask a question or if you'd like to share something about your process tonight, anything that you want to make a comment. And the way to do that is to press star 6 and then to press 1. Press star 6 and 1. And while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about, you got a link to a private Facebook group in the last email. I know not all of you are Facebook users. I was not a big Facebook user at all myself. I took a course where there was a private Facebook group, and that's where I got to see and enjoy people's artwork and poetry or insights and comments, and it just kind of enlivened the creative process. So I encourage you to try it out, and if it's just not your cup of tea, believe me, I understand. And so instead, what you can do is shoot me an email at hillarywellbeing@gmail.com. Send me an email with your insight or with your response or question. It's fun if everyone can see the creative process, but it's also important to feel connected if that's not your thing to do. Okay, I'm going to just press, I forgot to press star 8. That turned off those entry chimes, so I'm going to do that. Oh, okay, then I'm pressing them up. Okay, now they're off. They were off. All right, so anybody in the queue, press star 6 and then 1. Let's see. As far as I know, I'm doing this correctly, so maybe callers are shy to do that. Let's see. Hello? Star 6, there you are. Okay. Got a couple of them. Okay, this is for Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hi, okay.
I can hear you great. What's up?
You know, I was just going to share that you were talking about the seed and the meditation, And you said something about the field. I can't remember exactly. But I ended up being in a community garden.
Oh.
And that was just really wonderful because at the end you said, well, what's so important about this vision? And I wrote down something I had never thought of, and that it builds community if I fulfill my heart's desires.
Oh, that's great. So it came to you in the vision of the community garden.
Yes, I had my seed, and I was at a community garden. So
uh-huh.
So thank you. That was really beautiful.
So that's a very potent nature image that you can call on when you're wanting to cultivate your vision.
Great.
Yeah, that's something. So for the other callers, so for Anne, that community garden is where she landed, and it represents community and growth and sharing and contribution and being connected. And so since that's part of her creative vision, when she connects there in meditation and brings herself there, she will be connected to the spirit of her vision. Yeah, so thanks, Anne, for that sharing. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks,
Hillary.
This is so wonderful.
Great. Thank you so much. All right, we have one more. Just a sec. Okay, Stephanie, hi. It's Hillary. You're on.
Hi. I had a very strange vision to do with the seeds. Strange
yeah.
for me. I was actually in a lab, a science lab.
Wow.
And I was planting these seeds in petri dishes with tweezers.
Wow.
And, I think it had something to do with trying to be more focused.
Yeah, that makes sense. You'd be activating that part of the brain that's very
yeah.
specific.
Yeah. But, usually the nature images are what's most forefront in my mind. So this is a very strange vision to find myself in a
lab.
Scientific lab.
With tweezers, getting really specific, looking at this under a microscope. Wow,
so,
how interesting. Well,
yeah,
that's important.
Very interesting.
You want to write that down in your journal and see how things crystallize. Maybe there's something very specific will come up about your vision.
Yeah, I really think it has something to do with me trying to be just in general more focused on whatever, you know, whatever I'm doing.
So not letting the day just sort of take over and just,
right.
Oh, like multitasking and too many things to do, that
yep.
kind of thing?
Yep.
Ah, okay. So that archetypal image of the scientist focusing on a real specific, the detail. But also it seems like getting closer to examining what the seed is, like finding out what is it that you really, really want.
Yeah.
That's it. That's several people have told me that part of this journey is getting back in touch with what they want. You know, so, yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the share. Okay. All right. I'll remute. All right. Anybody else? Press star 6 and 1 if you want to share a comment, a question. And in the meantime, I'm going to go back and look. Let's see, there's one more. Here's Bonnie. Hello, Bonnie. You're
Hi.
On. Hey there, Bon. How are you?
Well, I'm just always so happy after I hear your voice. I mean, it does wonders. What can I say? I'm probably one of the most resistant to change and you know, believing I can do it or finding out what it is I want to do, all, you know, everything. And just even when you were talking at the beginning before we went into the meditation, you know, you said a few things and it was like, yes, okay. I know I've heard it before. I know what it means, but suddenly, you know, I absorbed it and it was, yeah, not to sound like Oprah, but it was like, okay, aha. That was an aha moment. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know I'm here.
Yeah, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And you speak for a lot of people because it is sometimes a challenge to let go of all the programming. The programming is really in the way of finding out what we want because there's kind of like an ego protection of even wanting it, like, oh, but that's not possible, or
what
would it even look like? I can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
And that's a little later on in the course we're going to do a release exercise. I don't know when it's in a couple weeks or so, a real specific one. And one of the analogies I use for this is like, you know, where bodies are and hearts, and this equipment we wear for this life is like a bell. And our programming is like cotton around the clapper. Like we can't even hear our own sound. You know, we can't even hear our own song sometimes or what resonates with us. And a lot of times disappointments and or the role models. There are no role models, you know, for doing if we want to pioneer a new area, if nobody in our family or inner circle has been doing that, it feels like so out of the of our comfort zone.
Oh, totally, and all of the above. I mean, the combination of the two.
Yeah.
Just exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to relabel that comfort zone. I'm going to change it to the familiar zone because it's not comfortable.
No, there's nothing comfortable about it. It's amazing to me that I can wake up in it every day and survive.
Yeah. It's like a familiar zone. So we're going to rename it. It's not the comfort zone.
No, it's the discomfort zone, actually.
It is. So we'll be doing some work with that later about visioning beyond our comfort zone.
Perfect.
Yeah, oh, good. Good.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. Good night.
Thanks, Juan. Good to hear you. Always good to hear you. All right, let's see if there's anybody else. And I'm going to go back to, let's see where we are here. Okay. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Wheel of Life. Was there somebody else there? Hold on. Let me look. Nope. Okay. Let's go back to the Wheel of Life. All right. So I read to you these different areas, you know, spiritual growth, personal growth, health and wellness, and around something I'm calling the Wheel of Life. And that's going to be posted tomorrow. There'll be a PDF you can download underneath tomorrow's video. There'll be an exercise called the Wheel of Life. This came to me while I was teaching another seminar recently, and I got just a download of this creative process. And then this has been kind of, I'm getting more and more downloads on this process using this archetypal symbol. You've seen it in the tarot decks. You've seen it in astrology charts. You know, there's every culture uses some form of a Wheel of Life. Probably our culture may not put it in a wheel, but actually now it is used in creative processes in different forms in a wheel shape. So I have a specific way that I like to do it that came to me recently. And a couple months ago while I was teaching, just before teaching a seminar. So you'll see a video on that, and I encourage you to watch. It has part one and part two of the process in the same video. So if you do part one, you can press pause and then do part one yourself and then watch part two and then do part two. That might be a little easier way to assimilate it because I do it all at once. So, but I do name part one and then part two. You'll hear me say that while I'm teaching it. So there's a handout. I recommend you get a couple of colored markers to do it with, and that you, if you're going to print these out, I would print out a couple because you might want to play with it a little bit, and you want to have it handy while you're in the flow of playing with it. It's very self-explanatory on the video and on the handout there. So these, let's see. Yeah, these areas of life are areas where you want to experience more enjoyment, basically our motivation for creating at this point is for enjoyment. And our programmed motivation for creating is usually survival. you know, and I just don't have a lot of motivation for that, even though I need to survive. It's just not, it never taps into your creative juices. It's not fun, and when we are being pushed by survival energy, our body breaks down, our energy is lost, and it's just like drudgery. We get this kind of numbness. And in this course, one of the most important, you know, byproducts of this creative process is this reawakened, connected sensuality. We want to, there's a saying that the struggle energy is like a pain. You know, it's painful. And the vision energy is magnetic. So there's a saying I've heard called, you know, pain pushes until vision pulls. And wouldn't you like to move through the creative process by being pulled magnetically, you know, by the heart, by your vision? So very important distinction between when we're in struggle mode, just know that we are disconnected from our spiritual energy, from Mother Earth and nature energy. Whenever we're in struggle mode, that's what's happening. Now, that doesn't mean to say we can be exerting a lot of effort and still be very connected, not disconnected, because there are times for push, and there are appropriate times. And then there's times for rest, and those are appropriate times. And in the feminine model of creation, In the feminine model of creation, there are... it's important to honor these energies. Remember, they're imagine inspired action. You're being pulled into action, even though you're exerting the effort, riding the wave up, and then it's cresting and then dissolving. You're relaxing. You're integrating, receiving, reflecting on that effort, and then stillness. So important. We're resourcing our energy from nature and from stillness, because that's connecting with our true nature. So daily practices that help you to do that are vital. And a lot of you have your own meditation practices you do every day. So I try to keep these practices short so that you can add them without adding too much time onto your day. It's meant to be fun. It's not homework. It's meant to be playful and fun. All right, let's see what else I have here. Oh, yes, I wanted to talk about the difference between the daydream and what we just did, the visioning process. Very different. Okay, so a daydream that you have where you're kind of, you know, wistfully wishing that something was in your life, or if it's something that is recurring and you haven't really taken much action on it, but you find your mind kind of drifting to it all the time, it's a message. You know, your daydream is like spirit trying to give you a message, just like some of your night dreams are. Some of our night dreams are just we're washing out, you know, the stress of the day, and then occasionally there's a really strong message in a dream. I remember my sister told me that, I guess it was 33 years ago or so, that she woke up from a dream, rolled over, told her then-boyfriend, soon-to-be husband, we're having a child. It's a boy, I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Steph. This was like a direct message that this was like a next step, and it happened in a dream. It's very fascinating that night dreams that are very powerful like that and carry messages are to be listened to. And our daydreams also, where our mind drifts to, are also to be listened to. However, there's a distinction to be made. If we're not taking any action toward it and we just continuously drift toward the daydream to make ourselves feel better, we're using it like a pacifier. We're not taking the action to draw it in. So if you look at an area of life that you think about, oh, if only. These are the if-only areas of life. If only I had X, Y, Z, then my life would be so much better. But then do you notice that you're not really doing whatever it is to create that? So that's how you know there's some stuck energy. That's how you know there's cotton in the bell. It's not ringing. It's not wrong. There's nothing wrong about it. It's just a signal that you need to release some programming. And we're coming up on that next week. We'll be doing some work with that. Because it's much, you can get a download of your vision much clearer when you start releasing some of this programming. So talking about empowered choices. Empowered choices is being able to get in touch with a longing that at one time we may have not even admitted to ourselves that we have. And it's a possibility for manifestation to notice, like, where do you go when you're under stress? You know, where does your mind go? Do you numb out? Do you go to if only? You know, or I wish I was anywhere but where I am. You know, where, and that is, there's potential energy in the field there that's not being harvested and used. There's fertilizer there for your vision in the very thing that you're avoiding, or the very drudgery that's part of your day that you really don't want to be doing. The fully noticing of that, the fully having that be aware, that can be the cotton in your belt. If it's not something you can delegate, it's something that you absolutely have to do, you know, and that's just a lived reality, that's the way it is right now, just today, this moment. But please do not accept or intend that that's always the way it's going to be. Anytime you hear yourself say, that's just the way it is, or that's just the way I am, or that's just the way they are. If you're saying that with resignation, that is a sign that you're buying into some programming. So I just want you to be aware of that. And just notice this week if there's anywhere where you're feeling sort of like trudging forward, drudgery, and saying to yourself, oh, that's just the way it is. It's always going to be that way. Or, that's just the way I am. And creating an identity out of it that seems so fixed. Or, that's just the way they are. And then you're holding an identity for somebody else that they'll never change. It's actually, that kind of resistance is a form of protection. Right? Because pain is pushing. And vision hasn't pulled you yet, but it will. It will. So that your assignment for this week is to watch the video, The Wheel of Life, and do that exercise. And from that, just start jotting down. It's going to percolate your process. And just start jotting down your results. There's a handout that goes with it that will give you a three or four prompts to write a little something about the results of your process. And then I'd love to hear from you. If you're on the Facebook, private Facebook group, you can post it there. If that's not your thing, then you can send me an email about it. Let me know so I can help you to percolate these visions. And I wanted to end this evening by telling you about my vision for this course, what created this course. And then I'll open the lines and we can all say blessings and good night. But first I want to tell you that, you know, I started the process of visioning this course, well, about 5 years ago. And I started through the process and stopped. I'm thinking maybe it was at least 5 years ago, yeah. And I started the process and stopped because my programming was, I can't handle all that technology. There's no way I can do this, you know. It just didn't seem possible for me on top of my regular work schedule and everything else that I was doing to add this on. But you know what? That's completely crazy because I love doing this. It's a lot of fun. I love connecting with you all, and I love making the videos and getting ready for the classes. And I live on inspiration. Inspiration are and imagination together are the wings of the soul, and that's the land I like to dwell in. So here I was 5 years ago talking myself out of this, and now. I do have support. I have a tech person a couple hours a week, and that she does all the things that I couldn't figure out, and my husband knows a number of things to do. He uploads my videos and that kind of thing. So that none of that was available 5 years ago. And things just start appearing to support your vision when you commit to it. So even before you know what it is, you can feel almost a devotion toward your vision without even knowing the form of it because it's calling to you. So bring your loving, I encourage you to bring your loving attention to your vision, as foggy as it may be or crystal clear as it may be. And just I encourage you to enjoy the process, practice the exercises. I suggest that you practice conscious breathing and riding the wave. Just commit to something really easy and doable, like 3 breaths 3 times a day. And if you do more, great. Or you might say, well, I want to do like 5 breaths twice a day. Whatever floats your boat, whatever your magic number is. I happen to like threes, 3 months, and you'll hear me say 3 a lot. I think it's easy to remember, and it's easy in a teaching process to work in sequences of 3. So I'm going to share with you my vision for this course that came to me in this form, let's see, how many months ago? 1, 2, 3, 4. 8 months ago this came to me. All right. My vision is to hold a sacred space for all of us to manifest and unfold our visions, to create fun and innovative meditations and practices that inspire, uplift, and help you ground your visions. That's my vision. So I have that on a little pink index card, and this has my devotion. You know, when I do things, like I do carry this with me, and I'm not so linear. So I just see it in my purse. It's pink. It's there. I notice it, and I pull it out and read it. And I was, for a while, putting it by my bed and reading it in the morning first thing. It became part of me, within like 3 weeks or so, it became part of me, and I stopped doing that. So if you have something that clear, great. Write it on a little colored index card. Keep it by your bed. Look at it, and you may only have a few words or a phrase and a quality, or you may have a few words, a quality, and a nature connect. That's all you need. That's all you need for now, and actually, that's the most important thing. And the basket of light woven by the stars, the guiding stars, through all of our bodies did come to me at the time I wrote this. So I just thank you so much. We're already at time. Thank you for your rapt attention and participation. I hope you enjoy this week's video, and I'm going to open the lines just a second here. You're all unmuted if you'd like to say, oh, wait, I got somebody on mute. Let me just unmute you. All right, say blessings and good night, and we'll tune in next week.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you so much.
Good night. Thank you all. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.